Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Today at the cafe, I'm excited to have Tim Silvera, founder and president of Optimum Comp Advantage, to discuss how to measure your impact of your employees' contribution to the success and the growth of your business and reward them accordingly. Tim, welcome.
Thanks.
I'm excited to have you here. We've actually, started this conversation about 5-6 months ago, so it took a little while to get you here. You're very, very busy. But before we get started, why don't you take a minute, tell the audience about yourself and about your company?
It's great. So my name's Tim Silvera. I'm the president of Optimum Comp Advantage. We're a boutique compensation and performance consulting practice. We specialize in executive comp. Broad-based compensation practices being incentive plans or compensation structures, and our biggest specialty is sales compensation design. We've been in business for about 5 years, and we've actually been growing rapidly over that time period.
Okay, fantastic. I know when as a consultant, I deal with my clients and then get into the sales department, and they're always looking for some kind of sales compensation besides, you know, what is the commission rate and things like that. Now, I'm going to save that for just a little bit more, but one of the other questions I always get is about performance measurement or metrics and rewards for those non-sales people. So whether it's HR or, frankly, people like myself in marketing or operations. So have you gotten into programs like that and suggestions for my listeners on how they can design programs to reward non-sales people?
Well, it's really important to really look at how do you align your workforce with the success of the business. So if you don't have an incentive plan, it's hard to communicate alignment. So it starts there. So it's really important even for smaller mid-market companies to have some form of incentive. Also, in those organizations, you really want to align and reward people for how the company is performing. If you don't, and it's more than the long term, if you have equity, if you're able to give equity, it's more about, you know, the short term. How do you align them? Give them instructions on what they're doing and how that impacts the success of your company. So it's important.
Okay. Do you find when you're working with management on this, and for me as a marketer, I'm going to go back to me for a minute. It's all about me.
Right.
But when we look at setting goals and objectives and, you know, looking at how do we work down through the organization. I mean, those are the objectives for the year, let's say, or for quarterly, whatever the milestones happen to be. So is your thought here, your suggestion that they really focus on those short-term milestones to help them achieve so their successes as they're going along, as opposed to we need to be, you know, grow 37% in the next 3 years. I mean, nobody's going to be hanging around for all of that.
Right. So, yeah, for sure. For, again, with the millennial generation today, everybody's heard for how long now about the turnover after, you know, they turn over after 18 months, 24 months. It's high turnover. So you really, and they want to be engaged in the business. So you really want to set what is the company trying to accomplish over a year, six months, a year, and then what are the projects everybody is working on to actually bring that to fruition, not just the salespeople selling stuff, but what are all the what's R&D doing? What are the metrics that R&D is held accountable for? What's the metrics that HR is accountable for? Finance? What are the metrics and projects that everybody's working on to make the company actually achieve its annual goals and revenue or EBITDA or any type of financial, non-financial growth of the company?
Okay. So beyond just sales commission, reaching revenue goals, but whatever those other foundations are, HR, types of people they want to hire, you know, marketing, it could be the number of leads that are being generated, et cetera, right?
Right. And so, yeah, so I've seen a lot of smaller high growth companies or the marketing group is like, what's qualified lead generation,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So what's the metrics of that? For HR, you know, what's the employee engagement factor? Employee engagement, the higher the employee engagement, the more likely people will stay. Metrics like that.
Okay. Let me ask you a question about engagement. So obviously you're working in a lot of different departments. And so if we look at HR and we think about employee engagement, so I work with some companies and they do a lot of things to keep the employees engaged, whether it's some kind of a a health and wellness plan, and they get points and prizes for doing certain things, or again, achieving milestones or participation. So what are some of those kind of engagement strategies that an HR group might use, for example?
I think the biggest, strongest engagement strategy aren't necessarily the fun things that people do to engage. Those are the external things. It's really the true things people are actually doing on a day-to-day basis to actually drive the success of the business. Okay. And so understanding that at the deep level, the health and wellness stuff, all that stuff's nice, but it's really about engaging employees to drive the success of the company. That's what really people really want to do.
Now, do you get into some of that? Because, I mean, I think some of the latest statistics, and I've seen it at 70, I've seen it at 85%, but the American worker is disengaged or unhappy in their job. So it's even doubly challenged or triply challenged to try to get the employees engaged. And the organization, if you will, really spending the time to understand the employee. I always talk about, you know, external marketing, but for me, I always bring in internal marketing, because a lot of times we're launching campaigns and doing all these wonderful things, and then the employee's walking down the hallway and has no idea what you're doing externally. They get a phone call and say, I don't know what's going on. So what are some of those strategies?
Well, I would tell you one of the biggest strategies to engage employees, not only in the company's success, right, because it's really setting metrics and goals and having people work toward them to achieve what the company as a bigger is trying to accomplish. But the other thing about engagement is managers being engaged with the employees regarding the employee's success.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, you know, I a few years ago, I went to a company. And it was actually about 8 years ago. So the millennials on the rise in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And the first day I was there, I had 5 questions. The next day was 20 more, and then more and more. How do I get promoted in this company? Everybody's seen the SNL skit about, you know, the first day a millennial starts work, they ask how they get promoted.
Right.
And it's not funny; it's real. And so I always say that I've dealt with that for the last 15 years now, or, you know, at least 12 years with millennials. And it's okay. What you've got to be prepared for is that question. And you should take it as a positive. So you should have a plan in place to say, well, here's your first day. This is your job. This is the skill set you need. But how do you get promoted? Be already set up to say, well, if you do this, this, and this, you can get promoted to the next level. And then if you do this, this, and this, and you build this skill set, you can get promoted to the next level. And don't make it contingent upon time. Make it contingent upon the demonstration of the skills and expertise you're looking for.
Okay, that's great, actually. I love that, because, you know, so many times it is based on some milestone mark. It's usually dripped in cash, if you will, or some kind of incentive program. But there really is much more to that package, if you will. And you've said it at least 5 times, and we're going to go that direction, millennials.
Mm-hmm.
I was saving that for later, but, man, they're right here on the front. So we really think about, and we've read all the stories, we've heard it. I actually have 3 millennials, and I get to sit here and tell you for the next 30 minutes about my millennials and how they operate. But how have the millennials really changed the dynamics, if you will, in performance rewards and in compensation? And then what are some of the things they're really looking for that you're bringing to companies besides money?
Well, what I'm bringing to companies is we're actually telling companies, don't expect millennials to stay unless you have a career path for them. Because they're going to be looking for that career path. Their parents, the boomers, are telling them, don't go to a company and take equity. Make sure that your base pay is competitive, and then look for competitive-based pay on an ongoing basis as you build your skill set. And if the company that you're at is not giving you that, if they say, well, you're now eligible for the 3% merit increase pool, you go find a job somewhere else that will actually pay you what you're worth.
Right.
And so that's the career opportunity. You need to be able to create a career opportunity for your people so they know how they progress, and then reward them based on progressing, not just based on, you know, merit every year. The other thing is designing incentive plans to take what they are doing that add value to your business and making sure they're aligned with the company's success. The biggest mistake companies have made for a long time, not just for the millennials, for everybody, is the CEO says something like, okay, we have a new bonus plan. We're all in this together, and everybody is going to get a bonus based on how we perform on EBITDA. Well, that's basically the CEO's those metrics, and he's holding everybody else accountable for achieving his metric. Mm-hmm. So no line of sight, no engagement, because he's not drilling down on what does everybody do to make that EBITDA come to life. And so I'm not saying not to have a funding mechanism, but then what does each person do that actually impacts the success of that business? So it's more work. Instead of just saying, hey, let's all work really hard, you actually managers have to engage with their employees to actually help them grow the business.
Well, I think in any case, I mean, that's a clear path in setting that and managing that path, whether we're doing a sales and marketing strategy, long-term plans. I mean, ultimately, you have to continue to manage that. Now, one of the things I talk about when I deal with HR people, and they come up with these programs, and then I go out and talk to the employees, and you know, it's not filtering down. So when you put together a program, for example, how do you bring it to life within the organization? Do you do that? And more importantly, how does the HR, pick on HR because they might be the ones, how do they push it down and really make sure everybody understands it? Before you answer, because I had a benefits person on a couple weeks ago, And we discussed that very problem. I remember sitting there and being told all these wonderful benefits that I'm going to get, and they handed me a binder, and I was lost. Mm-hmm. So what's your strategy and recommendation for making sure employees are engaged in all this?
Well, I'll give you an example of a company that we implemented, radically changed how they design their incentive plans, not only for salespeople, but for the talent organization, for the solutions organization, for every organization. And the best thing we ever did was we actually brought in different levels of management to see the plan early on. And when we launched it, management owned it and they launched it. Okay. Instead of HR launching it or some person sitting in a box saying, this is how it works. How you do it is you actually build the plan upward and downward, but then you roll it out through the managers and make them live it. It actually is the buy-in from management down, and they believe in the plan. And that's how you actually bring most of the incentive plans to life, is that managers own them and drive them in the business every day.
Okay. Can you give me I'm asked two examples. One of a real successful implementation and how it benefited. And then I'm going to guess the next question will be, give me an example of one that you designed a great program, or maybe it wasn't even yours, but the company just failed miserably. And so kind of the do's and the don'ts, if you will.
So the one client we started 2 years ago, and basically their revenue was flat for 5 straight years, had no growth. Salespeople, their incentive plan, we do an assessment of what's the problem in the company, and through the incentive plan design. This was a sales incentive plan.
Okay.
And basically the sales incentive plan was rewarding people they were able to earn 98% of their total cash target for achieving 80% performance. So they were making big money for lower performance. So what they were doing, you have to avoid motivating people to be mediocre. Because the thing that a salesperson does is looks out, how do I optimize that plan for myself? Not about how do I make the company a lot of money. So you got to be careful with that. And so this plan actually, so they were flat for 5 years. So we redesigned it to have decelerators that said, hey, if you perform at 80%, we're going to decelerate your payments, your incentives. But then on the top side, if you over exceed, we're going to accelerate. And basically when I say accelerate, we're going to share more of the profit or more of the revenue with you if you beat the goal than standard. And so they actually grew by 30% after we implemented it, 30% in the first 6 months.
Well, that kind of incentive really gives eliminates mediocrity, if
Correct.
You will, right? And it's now it's on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I can either achieve more and make more money, or I can just kind of coast. A lot of times, I think with salespeople, they, especially when there's kind of a retention and a renewal of existing business, it's like, hey, I made a good living last year. If I could hit a certain goal and I don't have to go out and prospect at all, I can just, well, then you can't grow. Right, you're just kind of mining the same mine, and eventually the ore is going to run out, if you will, or you're just never going to get there. So you have to open up new markets, whatever it happens to be.
Right.
So that's a positive one. Right. Give me one that maybe not so positive.
Well, another company, same situation. went in and talked to the CFO, the head of HR, and then I talked to the salespeople second. And the salesperson basically said, no, it's not the incentive plan why we're not growing. There's other problems, pointing the finger at every other avenue. And I go, no, it's more than likely your incentive plan because nobody's motivated to grow the business. He had things in place that said, well, if you don't perform this month, I'll give you an extra bonus next month if you perform well. On top of which was amazing. So I'll give you an extra bonus for being a poor performer. So what are you motivating people? You're motivating them to be mediocre 1 month so then they could blow it out the next month, right? So a lot of the things he was doing was causing the poorer performance. And so he actually lost his job. He was let go after 3 years of declining performance. This is not a flat situation. This was declining by 10% a year based on the sales force's performance.
Wow.
So they hired a new person, and so this was the opportune time to get with the new person, show them what the old incentive plan was doing. The new person said, oh, wow, I like the old incentive plan. Why? Because she would make a lot of money even if the company was not performing well herself. And so what happened was the CEO said, well, my new salesperson is, the person that really needs to weigh in on this. I'm going to listen to her. And it wasn't the incentive plan. It was just the person. And a year after she started, they're about ready to go under. So she made a lot of money, but the company now is in dire straits because they didn't implement based on, the recommendations and changes.
Well, I mean, regardless of any plan, I have a stat that I use in talking about. I use this phrase, planning is easy. It's the implementation that's really hard. And I think it's like 90% of businesses say they struggle with growth because of poor implementation. And I think that is across the board for lots of different plans. I mean, if you think about it, pulling all these different departments together to have that common goal way out there and figure out how you piece that puzzle together to keep moving forward. I mean, once the puzzle pieces are in place, why we talk about complacency, how do you continually to motivate people? And it beyond just it's a job or a paycheck. Because if that's all it is, then they're going to be gone sooner or later. So, but looking at an organization and that growth, I have a client that, their top salesperson is, been there 15 years. And it's about half the company life.
Right.
And they're a commission-based organization, and she does extremely well, and she's extremely motivated and knows how to get things done. So I think that's a really interesting dynamic. I'm going to pivot a little bit because we haven't actually talked about sales compensations programs. And, there's a wide variety of that I've seen and heard of. And so what's some of the thinking? And has thinking changed from last year to this year? And are there kind of trends that are happening when it comes to sales compensation?
Well, I would tell you there's trends because there's really two or three different types of incentive plans. I think it actually goes back to the design. In terms of company things, well, you just put in a commission plan. Just the commission rate is 1% or 5% or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the problem because if you just put in a flat commission rate, there's no decelerators for poor performance. There's no accelerators for high performance. And so the employee gets to decide how much effort they are going to do to win or how much do they want to spend making what level of money.
Sure.
So you actually have to start with what are you trying to accomplish as an organization? So are your incentive plans designed to achieve your business strategy or your business growth strategy or whatever you're trying to accomplish? And if they're not, then you're not going to make it. So then the other thing that I've seen, and this I thought went away many years ago, was the concept of giving managers, sales managers, first dollar commission overrides of their sales force. Again, I've seen a lot of it. 30 years ago, I saw it, and the whole thing was to push that out of the market. And then I started back doing smaller companies, and I see this first dollar commission. But again, if you're paying a sales manager first dollar commission, what's the motivation for him to hit target? So they can make a lot of money without hitting target.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I remember, I think I've used the term overrides, right? They're getting a taste,
Right.
I'm Italian, not a little vague, right?
Right.
A taste.
And that's what I'm referring to, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's kind of
It's still alive, but really it should be, what's the incentive they receive for hitting target? and what's the accelerators are the less amount. So the override thing, I found it in the last year and 10 or 15 companies that I've helped, and it's a factor that actually is hurting the organization.
Hmm. Where does the decision to implement these programs reside? Who is it, top down, bottom up, some of them from the sideways or different angles?
What we see in the smaller mid-market companies, the CEO hires a head of sales. Well, Mr. Sales, you must know how to design sales incentive plans. Go ahead and design it. So either he brings something that he did at his last company, or he's focused on making sure that he can retain his people and pay him a lot of money. And so the incentive plan is not focused on achieving the business results. And so we see that's a big mistake. We've seen it over and over again where the CEO relies on his salesperson to design their own incentive plans with very little oversight, maybe a little bit from finance. But in terms of having somebody that's an expert at design, I mean, you're a head of marketing, right? But,
yes.
And you see there's plenty of people that are heads of sales. What do? They're experts at how do you go to market and sell?
Mm-hmm.
Are they experts at designing incentive plans? Probably not. And so they're doing this stuff just based on what they know or what they've read or what the other companies do. They call it, this is the fallacy out there, best practices. Well, what is all the other companies doing? Well, they're doing commission plans. Okay, we'll just do a commission plan. Well, best practices are common practices that don't have a competitive advantage. That's my definition of a best practice. So what you want to do is have an outside person come in and say, you know, what's an optimum practice that'll drive performance of your organization and actually give you a competitive advantage in the marketplace that'll attract not only the right salespeople, but salespeople that really want to drive performance versus attracting salespeople that want to get by and make as much money as mm-hmm. possible without performing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I loved how you got to weave your name of your company in a few times. So is that how you came up with your company name? Was just that kind of a speak and really optimizing the program?
Actually, that's our brand. Our brand is that we help companies build optimum reward practices.
Okay.
And that was the far, and it's comp stands for compensation.
Correct,
And that's the common language. I mean, we didn't want optimum rewards advantage doesn't sound right. So that's how we came up with optimum. How do we drive optimum performance of a company? Comp, we use comp to do it, and we give you a competitive advantage.
I'm sorry, I was chuckling to myself as you were saying, oh man, he's just speaking, but it's just weaving right in there. It's just all real natural.
Yeah, and that's how we actually did it. Yep.
So I think I'm down to the last couple minutes, so I've got one more question for you. Is this show is about business growth mm-hmm. and those different disciplines, internal, external, that can impact the growth of a business. So taking what we've been talking about today, what are one or two suggestions for my listeners that are thinking about implementing a program like this, what would you recommend?
Now, the two things really is building a career track job structure is what we call it, so people know how they can build a career inside of your company. And the other thing is designing effective incentive plans that aligns the company performance with the team or business unit and our team, and then taking it down to the individual level and really working on that alignment up and down in your organization.
Okay. Well, I mean, much like designing a marketing and strategy, I mean, this is a very strategic approach to designing those programs. And you know, someone like myself, and I've been in that situation, well, what commission structure did they do last time at your other company, right? I love that best practices point you made. So that kind of brings us to an end of the conversation. I told you when we started it would fly by. So, Tim, why don't you thank you first very much. I really appreciate it. I think it was a great conversation, a lot of great insights, and I'm sure the listeners are going to benefit from us. But why don't you tell them how they can reach you on all those wonderful channels of marketing that you use.
So our website is www.optimumcompadvantage.com. My phone number is 760-330-6607.
All right, fantastic. And you're on LinkedIn and all that stuff, too?
LinkedIn and all that, yep.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you again for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, or view my show videos at theponzigroup.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn. That is the best place to get me. And you can subscribe to the show at thebusinessgrowthcafe.com, or we are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and coming soon to many other platforms around the world. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.